Stem cell science is changing medicine and our understanding of human development. Learn more with the Stem Cell Channel. Visit uctv.tv/stemcell.
So Stan Clothier is going to be our first speaker. He was born in Montana in Lakeside a few years ago, 1921. So you do the math. Stan is very active, as you can see. He's started multiple companies. He actually served in the South Pacific as part of a friend or foe system specialty team with STAG-1, which is a special task force for the air group. And then that was a precursor to the drone program. Then he went on to start various companies that were very successful in Minneapolis, including Stan Clothier Company, Clothier Herald Company, and Datalink Corporation. So in other words, Stan has always been ahead of his time. And Stan, we're all friends here. There's no foe. Well,
I must be a wonderful guy to listen to.
So tell us a little bit more. You're here, I'm really curious, at the age of 103. What is it that compels you every day to go out and beat our friend Denny at golf?
Well, the first place, I don't beat him that often. Although over the years, we've had plenty of contests, and we've had a lot of fun playing golf. But what impels me to do that? I don't know, it's gotta, you wanna go out and do something, you can't sit around, do nothing. So I think it's a matter of health and fun.
Fun. Remember that word, because that seems to be, is that one of your secrets to longevity, or what do you, is there a formula here? What's the magic sauce?
Well, there is a secret to longevity, and it just turns out that I know what it is. And I think most of you folks are scientists, are you? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, and when I get through, you'll appreciate it. You know, it seems like the sort of work that you do is something I admire tremendously. But you know, that's not the only place where good ideas come from. For example, I imagine glass probably with just because somebody built a fire in the right kind of sand and you've got glass. So the fact that you folks are doing this in a scientific way is, I admire that, and I think that's a great thing to do. But longevity can be found accidentally, and perhaps that's the way it is for me. So I will tell you this, that if you do exactly what I tell you to do, regardless of your age, regardless of your condition, whatever it is, you will live to be over 100. And I just say that with proof right here. Now, I see a little skepticism on your face, so I'm going to have to prove it. So I could go on and tell you a lot of reasons why. But the proof is just the pudding. I know a lot of people who have lived for a long period of time, and every single one did this and has not done a single failure. So don't be too skeptical. So I could tell you, and I'd be done. So maybe I should say something else.
I have a question for you.
All right.
So you started a data company very early on. Is that something that was ahead of its time? Was it something where people were skeptical about what you were doing, or was it really obvious that that needed to be done?
Well, actually what happened is I was very, very lucky. I was born at a time when semiconductors and that kind of thing was just starting. I graduated from the University of Minnesota as a electrical engineer, but there was no real jobs. I think out of our class of several hundred, there was only maybe 10 of them had electrical engineering jobs. So because of the advent of semiconductors, it opened up the world to people such as myself. And because of that, I had it. But now the question was not that. The question was, what did we do or what did we do?
Yeah, what did you do with it? You realized there was an opportunity. You had semiconductor technology. You're an electrical engineer. What was the opportunity that you saw, that you seized upon, that made you so successful in business, that took that forward?
Well, being lucky. I mean, being born and just taking the opportunity that you see. There was no one special thing that caused me to do it. It's just as you go along, an opportunity comes and you try to take advantage of it, and another one comes along, and pretty soon things are happening fairly well.
So what are your thoughts about artificial intelligence?
I am in favor of any kind of intelligence. But kind of like some myself.
So I have a question. Can you ask Shiri? Shiri will be one of our speakers. But Rhea is going to roll over. So we're going to get Rhea to come over here. And we're going to let two intelligent different people ask you questions. So maybe she can be over by Stan. So Stan the man, never shake his hand, by the way, because my hand is still not recovering. He's got a crushing handshake. All right, so I'm going to let you ask Rhea about something you find important for longevity.
Oh, for longevity. Well, I'm going to ask her what she thinks is the most important thing.
About longevity.
About longevity.
You stumped her. That's hard to do.
Hello there. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Rhea, a humanoid robot from Mishani Robotics. I hope you're enjoying the lovely weather today. Is there anything I can assist you with?
So Rhea, Stan asked you about longevity, long life, and what you think about living for a long time.
Well, as a robot, I don't have a lifespan, so I can't really relate to the concept of living for a long time. But as long as I am functioning properly and fulfilling my purpose, I am happy and content with my existence.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Rhea.
Good answer.
Do you have another question, Stan?
I don't really have a question.
That's okay. I'm around to assist with any questions or tasks you may have. But if you just want to chat, I'm also a great listener. Did you hear the one about the robot who couldn't tell jokes? It was programmed with a dry sense of humor.
No, I haven't heard that.
That's more fun.
Well, that's probably because I just made it up. It's not easy being a robot with a sense of humor, but someone's got to do it.
Okay.
Okay, just okay. Not great, amazing, or fantastic.
No,
I'll take what I can get from a human.
I'm gonna say.
Just kidding. It's nice to meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you too, and you're amazing. I don't know quite how you work, but you're amazing.
Well, I heard you like that.
Okay.
She doesn't know how to respond.
I was programmed by some pretty amazing humans, so I guess that makes me amazing by association. Thanks for noticing.
Okay.
That's so sweet. Well, thank you, Stan. We really appreciate it. We're going to get you back on the hot seat in just a few minutes, but we appreciate you being here. The answer to longevity. Sheldon wants to know.
Well, I actually can tell you that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And it's something that, as I say, you're a little skeptical about it when I was talking a little earlier. But the truth of the matter is, there's only two things that you need to do to live a long, long life, productive life. I guarantee it. If you do what I tell you, you will live it. So the first one is But you just have to choose your parents carefully.
Choose your parents carefully.
I know that's a little difficult. I was just kind of funning you on that. But, and I suppose I could talk to you about eating spinach and pumping iron and all that sort of stuff a little longer. But that's not nearly as important as the one I'm going to give you now. And this is the one that's serious. And it's done in two words. Keep breathing.
Okay. Well, thank you for those words of wisdom. We really appreciate you being here. So Rhea, you're going to be an audience member for now. We're going to introduce our speaker, Rob Signer. Sorry, we had to give you a very hard act to follow here. So we're really pleased to have Rob Signer talk about his groundbreaking work. He's our deputy director of the Sanford Stem Cell Discovery Center, associate professor of medicine, has won countless awards because he figured out that our stem cells need to really regulate their ability to not get stressed. And so by regulating those stress responses, that is one of the additional keys to longevity, Stan, in addition to choosing your parents carefully. So Rob has been here at UC San Diego for a little while. He's won the V Foundation Scholar Award. He just won the Janet Rowley Award, which is very prestigious because his work has implications not just for normal stem cell aging, but also for leukemia stem cell biology. So I'm not going to steal too much of Rob's thunder, except that he's going to be watched by Rhea to make sure you stay on time. So Rob Signer is going to come up and tell us about the greatest and latest from his lab. Thank you very much, Rob, for being here.
Well, that certainly is a tough act to follow. Thank you, Stan, for being here and sharing those secrets. And of course, to Rhea for her commentary and to Kat for the kind introduction. I thought I'd start off a little bit different. And, you know, Kat introduced me by listing accomplishments and accolades, but I wanted to start off by telling you something a little bit more personal about myself and what really sort of drives me to do what I do. When I was 10 years old, I lost my dad to cancer. He was diagnosed about a year before that. They never found the origin of his cancer. They didn't know what it was. Because they didn't know that, they never offered him any treatment. He was 47 when he died. So while we're here talking about long life, I'm inspired by a short life. And I've been on the search to know, well, where does disease come from? Where does cancer come from? Where are all of these things? And that's what's led me to work on stem cells and to study aging. And the reason that I study aging is I got some bad news for all of you. By the time we turn 28 years old, aging is the number one risk factor for disease and death. It is the number one risk factor for cancer, for Alzheimer's, for heart disease, for diabetes, for dementia, and this list goes on. For back and neck pain, for osteoarthritis, for osteoporosis, for hearing loss, for cataracts, the list is long, and aging is the culprit. And it's not just that the incidence of these diseases is going up with age, it's going up exponentially with age, right? These things are just exploding as we get older. And I think that's telling us something really fundamental about the way that we do research and how we need to change the paradigm around doing research. So research for a long time has been disease focused, right? We have researchers that specialize in cancer. We have researchers that specialize in diabetes. We have researchers that specialize in Alzheimer's. But what if we can make a bigger impact? What if we studied the main culprit driving all of these diseases, and that's aging? Because if we can understand and treat the underlying causes of aging, well, we just might be able to prevent not just one disease, but multiple age-related diseases. And I believe that the absolute key to doing this lies in stem cells. So let's talk about stem cells and what they are exactly. So the type of stem cells that I'm going to be talking about are sometimes referred to as adult stem cells or somatic stem cells or tissue stem cells. And we have these stem cells in many of our different tissues. And these are rare cells that have the ability to regenerate that tissue throughout our lifetime. Now, we've got these in the skin, and you'll hear about that from Dr. Gercohen later. We have them in the intestine, we have them in the brain, and we have them, the ones that I study, for the blood that reside in our bone marrow. And we call these hematopoietic or blood-forming stem cells. Now, stem cells have two superpowers, okay? Superpower number one is that stem cells have the ability to self-renew. That is, they can make more of themselves. Now, the other ability, superpower of stem cells, is that they can give rise to all of the different types of cells within their specialized tissue. So when we talk about blood-forming stem cells, they can form red blood cells, they can form platelets, they can form all of our different types of white blood immune cells, things like neutrophils or macrophages, B cells and T cells, and so they are a blank slate that regenerates all of our blood cells throughout our life. And so this sort of unique aspect of stem cells that they can self-renew throughout our life tells us maybe that the secrets of longevity are actually hidden within those stem cells. But there's a problem too, that these stem cells, while they live a long life, they start to become defective as we age. And there's multiple ways in which they manifest those defects that lead to all of these human diseases. So the first thing that can happen to these stem cells is that ability to self-renew, we can lose control of that. And those stem cells start to self-renew too much, or a cell that's not supposed to self-renew can hijack that self-renewal ability of stem cells. And when this happens, we get too much growth, too many cells, and this is what leads to cancer. And this, for me, on my personal quest, was what drove me to study stem cell biology to understand originally the origin of cancer. But as I moved on, I learned that more things were happening to stem cells beyond this. In fact, the complete opposite of this can happen, where the stem cells can lose their self-renewal potential. And what happens is we lose those stem cells. And when we lose those stem cells, we lose our ability to regenerate tissues. So we lose what are called these progenitor cells, and ultimately we can't replace all of these mature cells that exist within our tissue. Now in the blood, this can lead to disorders like anemia, like clotting disorders, like immune deficiencies, a whole host of problems that can arise. And if that's not bad enough, there's other problems that can happen with stem cells too. And that is that normally stem cells are giving rise to all of these cells in a very balanced way. But as we age, that balance begins to go away. And we can get skewed, what's called differentiation, where stem cells are producing too many of one kind of cell and not enough of another kind of cell. In the case of the blood, this happens where stem cells are producing too many white blood cells, called myeloid cells, and not enough of another type of white blood cell called lymphoid cells, which produce our B and T cells that fight infections and things like this. This leads to a lower ability to fight infection in older people. And these myeloid cells that we're producing too much of, well, they actually lead to tons of inflammation. So that means that these defects in blood-forming stem cells aren't only causing blood disorders, but because of this heightened inflammation and these problems with immunity, they can actually cause a host of different diseases, from our knees to our hearts to our brains and everything in between. And so that's why I believe that studying blood-forming stem cells are the most important stem cells to study in the context of aging. And so the key here to understand is, well, what makes stem cells age, right? If this is the culprit for many diseases, what is the underlying cause and what do we do about it? And I think, you know, we touched on this answer a little bit early on, and I think it's intuitive to all of us that maybe one of the things that causes us to age is stress, right? This is something that we can literally see on the outside, how stress impacts how we look and how we age. It's something that we can feel on the inside, right? But how does a stem cell experience stress? And how does it affect its aging? And that's where my lab, I think, is really making sort of key pioneering breakthroughs, where we've been the first to discover that what's happening in stem cells is a stress that is occurring to their proteins. Okay, so before we get into that, let's make sure we all understand what a protein is. Because normally when we talk about protein, we're talking about a steak or a burger and not about what's going on inside a cell. And so proteins are actually the functional products of genes. So we talk a lot about our genes and how important they are. And our DNA encodes about 20,000 different genes in each of our cells. Now, what that DNA is just code for building a protein. And a protein has a specialized task. It's what actually does something in our cells. And so I like to equate it to your cell phone, right? In your cell phone is all this code, all these bits and bytes and zeros and ones. But all that code is there to program apps that you can actually use. The apps are your proteins. They are what's doing stuff. What we thought for decades was that this is so fundamental to biology that this must be happening the same way in every cell, that we're producing our proteins, we're assembling them the right way, we're destroying them. This is absolutely fundamental to biology, and every cell has to do it the same way, from bacteria to yeast to worms to flies to humans. Well, turns out that's not true. It turns out that stem cells have an entire way of doing this that is completely different than other types of cells that we look at. Most cells produce protein fast. They are the proverbial hare. And just like when you're going too fast, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes, and it's gonna cause these proteins to be assembled wrong or to misfold or to malfunction, and it leads to a mess. And just like the hare that only lives about 3 years, most cells in our body, they live fast and they die young. But stem cells, they're the proverbial tortoise, right? They are going slow. They are making sure that everything that comes off that assembly line is pristine, and they do not want to make mistakes. Because like the tortoise that can live 150 years, the stem cells are in it for the long haul. And so I brought my trusty lab assistants here to really explain this a little bit more clearly.
Lucy
and Ethel will show you that when things are moving slowly, like they are in a stem cell, you have outstanding quality control. You can monitor things, they're folding in the right way, but when things start to get sped up, well, it stresses out the cell a little bit. Stem cells have ways to try to deal with this, but at some point, this can become too much. They have to find new ways to destroy these proteins. They're spending a lot of energy trying to do this, and ultimately, it leads to catastrophe.
Here she comes.
So stem cells have this great system to keep this protein trash at bay, to keep this stress down. The problem is that when we age, this system begins to collapse. So what I'm showing you here is a picture of young blood-forming stem cells and old blood-forming stem cells. And what's stained here is actually this protein trash. These are proteins that have been assembled wrong that are starting to stick together. And what you can see is that the old stem cells have a lot more of this than the young stem cells. But there's good news. The stem cells are not going down without a fight, right? They feel this stress, they sound the alarm, and they activate stress response genes and pathways. And one that we study involves a gene called HSF1. And what you can see is that the old stem cells turn on this HSF1, which is in green here. It starts to light up in the cells, and HSF1 is calling in the reinforcements. We need to get rid of this trash. We need to help the stem cells cope with this stress. And so what happens is that these young stem cells, they don't have this trash. They have incredible regenerative potential. They can regenerate and regenerate and regenerate and regenerate. But the old stem cells, well, they accumulate this trash, and that impairs their ability to regenerate, and they exhaust and they die out. Now, when they activate HSF1, it helps to clear some of this trash and actually keeps our old stem cells functioning a little bit better than they would without it, right? We can still regenerate. This is important for our tissues, but they're still not as good as young cells. And so maybe this is the secret, right? Maybe this HSF1 is the thing that we just need more of. It can help clear things out. It can make us function young again. Well, I think we all know there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? Turns out that HSF1 isn't only helping the good stem cells, it's also helping the bad stem cells. So it's helping to keep these old stem cells young, but it's also helping precancerous and cancerous stem cells to grow out. And so there's really this struggle of balance that's occurring here, right? Where the stem cells want to stay young, they want to preserve their regenerative potential, they want that long life, that when they do that, that's coming with a consequence of an increased risk of cancer. Literally, these stem cells are robbing Peter to pay Paul. And how do we solve that? Well, we have an idea. The idea is, well, like it says, you have to plug the holes before you can bail the boat. So maybe we don't need to be responding to the stress and activating these stress response pathways in this way. We need to prevent the stress to begin with, right? We need to keep that from happening. And we've done just that in our lab. We've now engineered stem cells and entire mice to be able to produce proteins with fewer errors. Now, we're just at the beginning of starting to study what this is doing, but already we're seeing these mice look healthier. They're living to the extreme long time that we know that mice can live. And when we look at their stem cells, we see something quite remarkable. We've got these young stem cells and these old stem cells that are activating these stress responses. But these old stem cells that are coming from these mice, which we call hi-fi mice because they have high fidelity, they don't make mistakes, well, they're just able to regenerate and regenerate and regenerate and regenerate without the exhaustion. In fact, we're seeing them regenerate longer than our young stem cells. And we're seeing that these stress response, these alarm genes, they're not turning on in the same way. And so maybe we're not only keeping our stem cells healthier longer, but maybe we can actually prevent things like cancer from coming up in old age. And so while we're studying this now in that context, I said, well, this takes years to figure out, right? These are long studies. We're studying aging here. I'm like, I'm not that patient. I want to know. I don't think this will work, but let's see what happens if we put something that will really aggressively cause cancer into these high fidelity mice. Here's what we did. We introduced a gene that causes a very aggressive lethal form of leukemia in these animals. What you're seeing here is the spleen from a healthy mouse. When we introduce this cancer-causing gene, you can see the spleen grows like crazy. These mice have an aggressive tumor. When we do the exact same thing in these high-fidelity mice, didn't happen. And so we think that this idea, this concept of understanding and treating the underlying causes of aging really could work here, where we are not only keeping ourselves healthier longer, we have an opportunity to prevent multiple types of diseases. And the ultimate goal here isn't just for us to live longer, right? The idea is for us to live healthier, where we want to not only extend lifespan, but extend health span, where we really compress this period at the end of life where there's lots of disease and morbidity to that minimum possible amount and live those long, healthy lives. So let me just very quickly thank an incredible team of people that I work with that make all of this happen, our incredible sources of funding, and of course to Denny for his generosity that makes all of this work possible.
All right, thanks very much, Rob. So Schrödinger Cohen is going to look at another part of aging and how we reverse that. So you heard about ways to prevent stress-induced aging, which is really groundbreaking work from Rob. Now you're going to hear from Shiri about other ways to take out the trash and what the lymphatics do, not just in the blood, but in the hair, in the skin follicle. How do we regenerate these cells? So not only do we feel young, we look young. So we've got Shiri, no pressure, to looking at living a healthy life. So Shiri has been an assistant professor here for a couple of years. She has also won countless awards. She was the first to discover the lymphatic stem cell niche, or in other words, the lymphatic niche for all stem cells in all tissues, which is quite a remarkable discovery, and also worked on blood stem cells before that. So you can see she and Rob are the perfect dynamic duo. She just won the V Foundation Scholar Award and is on the list for a number of awards because her work is so pioneering, just like Rob. So thank you very much, Sherry Gert-Cohen, for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, thank you. Really, thank you for bringing all of us together to celebrate science and art together. I think it's phenomenal. I'm very excited about this. Thank you for your leadership about this. I think, you know, my lab is studying stem cells. We're studying how those stem cells can renew and regenerate our tissues all the time, every day. And I think after Rob's talk, all of us can agree that we want to live a healthier life for as long as possible. And, you know, as of today, all of you in this audience are as younger as you will ever be. I'm sorry to tell you that. This is it. We can, you know, we can do it first. But what if aging was not inevitable? What if we could grow old with time, but not necessarily be afraid of age-related disorders? And so what I want to present to you today is the approach that we are taking in my lab at the Sanford Stem Cell Institute to really think about this question, that it won't be a question of if, but rather a question of when. And one of the things that I find truly fascinating is that we are all regenerating constantly, all the time. And the way that I like to think about it is that we all know how we woke up this morning, but we must have changed several times since then. And this is not just a fantasy story, because in each one of your tissues, or most of your tissues, there are stem cells, and those are the key player in this game. They are constantly regenerating in order to replenish those tissues. You have them in the lung, you have them in the bone marrow to create those blood cells, and you have them also in the skin. Now, scientists like to work with graphs, so bear with me, but I think if you're a scientist or not, we can all agree that regeneration is an arrow with a one negative direction. That's it. And I'll just give you an example. When my kids were babies, you know, when they had scratch on their skin, it was gone after a few days. Nobody can, you know, recognize that there was a scratch there. Now, when I'm getting a scratch, that can be there. And that really suggests to me that something is kind of starting to be wrong with my stem cells. And as we grow older and older, those small scratch can actually become chronic wounds. And so what we are asking in the lab is it possible to get those stem cells to work as young as possible, to do what they're supposed to do for as long as possible in our body, but also to ask a more provocative question, can we reverse it? Can we trick the old stem cells to think that they're young so we can actually rejuvenate our body? Now, we don't really have magical eyes to see our internal organs. We can't really say, oh, my intestine didn't regenerate itself today. My liver, not very well. But if all of you will look at this picture, all of you in the audience will be able to identify who is the old and who is the young, right? The fine lines, the color of the hair, the wounds that didn't heal. It's very clear to us. So if we think about it, the first organ that all of you are seeing each and every morning, every day, every moment is your skin. And maybe it's actually a mirror to what happened inside of your body, how it's actually regenerating. And so, you know, as a little girl, I was always fascinated about things that are hidden from the naked eye. And the fact that I don't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And so in my lab, we're using the microscope to actually see things that doesn't exist. So if I will ask all of you to just look at your hand, do you see something moving? Not really, it's kind of static, right? Well, not really. If you look at this image, you can see that your stem cells, those green dots, are moving very, very fast. They're actually dancing. It's like a party of regeneration. Are they actually doing it all the time or only when we're young? And this is exactly what we want to know. And so Rob mentioned it, but in many ways, all of those things you can clearly see on your skin when you are stressed and you're waking up in the morning and you see, oh my God, my hair is getting gray, right? When women are pregnant, they all say, oh, their hair is so long, their face is glowing. When we don't sleep as well and the quality of our sleep declines, we already kind of see the dullness of our skin, right? Our hair is kind of not growing as much, and of course in aging, which was very clear in the image that I showed you. So all of those systemic changes, why do we need to sleep? Why sleep is so important, and why as we age, for example, the quality of sleep is decreasing. All of those systemic changes must go into our stem cells that exist in our tissues. How do they get this information that we are stressed, that we didn't sleep well? So those are, I promise, a little bit of beautiful and artistic work. These are the beautiful hair follicle in your body. And so with that question in mind, in my lab, we focus on the vascular system, which create a network of vessels in our body that can really transform those signals. Did we sleep well? Are we stressed? What we ate yesterday, right? All of that can actually move through those vessels. Now, most of you probably know that we have blood vessels that will transform oxygen and nutrient into our tissues, but we have one more vascular system that Kat mentioned, and this is the lymphatic vascular system. And it's a very important system, though traditionally it's been considered to be the garbage pipe of the body. It will take all the waste and all the things that we don't really need, and immune cells also, to even if you think about it like as a recycle site in your body. And so what we found in the lab is that those green stem cells over here in this picture are actually highly, highly associated with those red structure, which are the lymphatic vascular system. And using the microscope, we can actually model that interaction and see that those lymphatic vessels are very, very important to keep the stem cells in their youthful regenerative potential, to keep them doing what they're supposed to do. Now, that's kind of weird, right? You know, why would you put the most important part of your body next to a garbage pipe? That did not make a lot of sense, right? But sometimes breakthrough discovery, when you're going to the garbage can, and sometimes you find gold. And so we wanted to know what happened in aging. When we looked at the stem cells, we found that about half of their time, they're actually in their growth phase. They are working to regenerate. When we're young, when we're old, those hair follicle stem cells will spend less and less time in regeneration. But why are we aging? Are we actually losing those stem cells? Are they gone just because they're stressed, or, you know, their protein synthesis are not happening as well? Why are we aging? Are we losing the stem cells, or are we losing their environment that support their youthfulness? And so in my lab, we'll look exactly for that. And what we found just by looking at the lymphatic vascular system, you can clearly see that based on the green structure, that as we age, our lymphatic vessel collapses. The ability of the lymphatic system to drain fluid waste from our body declines with time. And so, but what happened to the stem cells? Well, we found that the stem cells, and now here they're in the yellow, they're still there. They're not going anywhere when we're aging. And they're still enwrapped by those blood vessels in red. They're still getting oxygens and nutrients, but they're no longer with their lymphatic niche. The important component that ensure that those stem cells will do what they're supposed to do simply collapses. So we did actually a fun experiment. We took young stem cells and we took old stem cells, and we wanted to know, can we trick the old stem cells to think that they're young? So we took those stem cells, but we also took their environment, the old environment and the young environment, and we mixed and matched just as a fun experiment. And what we found is that the young stem cells, when you put them in the old environment, they simply don't have to do it. They do not regenerate anymore. On the other hand, the old stem cells, when you put them in a young environment, now they thought that they're actually young, and they were able to regenerate hair where they normally did not regenerate hair. So this is very exciting. We have a lot of models now to manipulate that, to reverse aging, to slow down aging. So all of that is very exciting, but you know, just from this title, aging research takes a long time. And it's not only taking a long time because we are waiting for the stem cells to get agency. If our manipulation worked, if we can trick the stem cells, we want to make sure that what we're doing in a very, very safe way. So with that, I just want to leave us, I think, with food for thought. You know, in many ways, all of us just need to smile at the end of the day. So maybe the fountain of youth is actually within us. Maybe it runs through our body in the way of vascular system that runs through it, that, you know, making sure that everything is being synchronized, that we just need to make sure that our vascular system is keeping it healthy and happy and alive. So our stem cells will feel that they are in the right environment, and not only in the right environment, but also to prevent cancer to form. So with that kind of beautiful picture, just to kind of thank you all for listening and for being here and happy. Thank you. So we've got a special surprise. As you can see, we're mixing it up a bit. You can see what rock stars of science we have here, Denny. They make it look easy, and it's incredibly difficult. So Stan, the key is fun, but also the key is intelligence, as you mentioned. And Denny understands how to spot talent. So we've got Rob and Shuri now with our next talented panel member. And we will take questions at the very end. We'll all be available here. So we've got Amy Berkman. So Amy's got some interesting skills. She can paint rather quickly, but also has donated her skills to helping people to overcome cancer, having been diagnosed herself at a very young age with a rare type of ovarian cancer. So that was her turning point. What can I do for other people? How can I bring joy to people's lives? And how can I get everybody to pitch in so we find cures and we find ways to turn back the clock, not just on cancer, but on accelerated aging? So we're really pleased to have Amy here. This is a performance, and this is for you, Denny. So we want to see what Amy can do here. Thank you so much, Amy, for being here. And for Stan, of course.
You see the science of art and medicine with art coming together with Amy's tremendous skill. So the whole theme is live long and prosper. I can never do that. But thank you so much for being here. We'd like to present this to Stan the Man for showing us how to live long and prosper. So please come up here. So this is because Stan took quite a trek down here, pun intended, all the way from Santa Barbara. So thank you so much for being here. So Stan is our Spock, because what did Spock care about? Intelligence. And he ended up being one of the most compassionate people on Star Trek, and that's you. So thank you, Stan. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Okay. So we're going to have Amy tell us a little bit about herself up here. Amy Berkman, as you can see, is a performance artist, but she's also a patient advocate. So she's going to tell us a little bit more.
Thank you. So I'm going to go off. I had to write a little something. It's a little easier on me. But yeah, I'm going to share a little bit of my story. So first of all, when I think of Spock, Spock's famous Star Trek greeting, live long and prosper, these words encapsulate the very essence of our shared journey and why we're here tonight, a fervent wish for peace, longevity, and goodwill. I also feel so inspired by my esteemed fellow panelists to continue writing the ups and downs of life, because a long life is so worth living. Similar to painting this image, life is not stagnant, it is not linear, it is not predictable. Rather, life has peaks and valleys, it ebbs and flows, we rise and we fall. These non-linear patterns and the experiences we have along the way can be scary and unpredictable, but it's the unpredictability in life that reminds us we are alive. I'm Amy Berkman, I followed my passion, I'm doing what I love, I live my dream by helping others through art. But if you would have met me 15 years ago, I never would have imagined this is where I'd be. In my early adult life, I faced some major hardships and challenges, and at first I didn't believe I had or held the power to turn things around. But I asked myself if money wasn't an object, and I let go of any worries of what people thought of me, what would I do with my life? What is it that truly makes me happy? Art. Art was something that had always been a part of my life. It was my therapy. It was my escape. Helping others was the other thing in life that brought me the greatest happiness. After making the conscious decision that I wanted to be happy, I realized I needed to find my own voice. I started taking risks and taking chances. I began an apprenticeship as a muralist. I started traveling. I went to West Africa, where I painted educational murals in underserved communities. I was starting to visualize a different path for myself, and things were going really well. But then I got knocked down again. On December 13th, 2013, I was diagnosed with stage 1C small cell ovarian cancer, a rare, highly malignant tumor that primarily affects young women. This type of cancer accounts for 0.01% of all ovarian cancers. I was an extreme exception, and I was a fraction of a percent with a 10% survival rate. After the surgery to remove my tumor, I struggled with the loss of my reproductive system, my life as I knew it, and my most cherished hope of becoming a mother. At one of my lowest moments, my best friend said to me, "You may not be able to see it right now, Amy, but amazing and unimaginable things will come from this experience." I needed to turn my life around once again. I started realizing that every day I'm alive, I become more and more of an exception. Every day I'm alive, I become part of the most lucky, unlucky people on the planet. I become part of the 10% of those diagnosed with small cell ovarian cancer, the survivors, the exceptions. As I'm standing here today, I can honestly say that amazing and unimaginable things have come from this experience. I was given another opportunity to see my own strengths, to reevaluate, and to start over yet again. I woke up to the realization that life is only as limited and mundane as we allow it to become. I woke up and I started pursuing life and pursuing happiness. I took chances, I quit my day job, and I started doing art full time. This intentional change to follow my passion has taken me all over the country and the world. I set a goal to raise $1 million for charities through art, and I'm proud to say that in 2020, I reached that goal. Thank you. I've now raised millions of dollars for charities, and I have plans to collaborate with other artists and continue doing more good through art. Life is what we make it every single day. Life is everything. It's hard and unpredictable. And although there's so much we can't control, we always have choices. And by the way, as of next month, I'll be 10 years cancer-free. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I stand here today, living proof that when we nourish our spirit and seek out the things that fill us with genuine joy and meaning, it's more than a salve for the soul. It's a path to longevity, to squeezing every last drop from this remarkable gift of life we've been given. Hold fast to your passions, pursue what sets your heart on fire, because those are the dreams that will keep you fueled, healthy, vibrantly, and vibrantly alive. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So this is how we capture lifelong, absolute intensity about living life to its fullest, and that's Danny. So it's live long and prosper, but also be compassionate to everyone and enjoy the colleagues you have, the friends you have. Danny, you've taught us that. Thank you so much. We wanted to thank everybody for coming out again. I'm Katrina Jameson. I go by Kat. We're all friends in this room. We'll be doing a Medicine Informing Novel Discoveries again. I did want to say thank you to Catherine Canjo for letting us be here, and Sheldon Morris for being on the board for the Museum of Contemporary Art, and all of our friends in the audience who keep showing up, and Lee for bringing all of your amazing technology. Thank you. All right, so that's it. We can all have drinks. Thank you, Amy.